it's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is him, Damian Lemon. This is In the Conversation, the podcast. Yeah, we here. Ali is away. Shout out to Muhammad. He'll be back soon. But right now, it's you and I, one-on-one. You already know what it is. How y'all feeling out there? How you feeling? Talk to me. How you feel? Okay. That's what's up. That's what I want to hear. Hell yeah. Good. That's what it is. That's what's going on, man. I'm good. Thanks for asking. I'm good. I'm chilling. You know. Sitting here talking to y'all, you know, getting these thoughts together. You know, it's, we're in the spring. We're officially in spring. You know, there's still a little bit of the remnants of that winter energy, but we in the spring. We done sprung. We out here. It's getting warmer, at least brighter. At least brighter with the, you know, with the time shift and all of that. And like it's bright outside. The sun is outside. It might not be hot, but it's bright enough for you to think it's hot until you get outside. You're like, damn, I miscalculated. Should I run upstairs and grab something, or should I just thug it out and catch a good springtime cold? Who knows? That's a decision for you to make. Anyway, yeah, we in the spring. Summer is right around the corner. You know how fast these years go by, especially if you're somebody that's seen some years go by. You know, just spin, boy. This earth be spinning like a top. Anyway, oh, shit. But yeah, I'm happy that y'all are here. I'm happy y'all listening. Shout out to the fans. You know what I mean? Shout out to some of my listeners. Shout out to the listeners in Michigan. Shout out to the listeners in Georgia, Colorado, Texas, Maryland, California, Connecticut, CT. I'm about to be there this weekend. Matter of fact, I'm being New Haven, Connecticut. Of course, New York, London, France, Ghana, Mexico. We got cats out in Mexico. I know people put specifically in Mexico and in like Tulum area that listen to the pod. Shout out to you, you know? Everywhere else I ain't named, you know, now you are appreciated, as young Tupac Amaru Shakur once said. Yeah, man, but that's it. We wrapping up March. Shout out to the women, Women's History Month. I hope y'all, you know, making history, you know, and don't stop making history. Make history next month like you did last month. I know the women gonna do what the women do. You know what I mean? But, yeah. Outside, man. We outside, dog. No mason jar, straight up water bottle. I didn't even go folksy this time. I ain't even had the chance to do all that. And I got lemons in there. I could have sliced down a lemon slice with the mason jar. That been real down home style. But now I'm going straight from the plastic water bottle. Hopefully I'll make it. You know, everybody, you know, it's a war, you know, everything could kill you. Everything could kill you. They say the plastic is leaching into your food. So you got to be careful. So I be trying to be careful. I try to mess with as much glass as I can, but glass ain't cheap. You know what I mean? And glass could break and shatter. Now you got all the shards all over the place. You got to make sure you get all of the shards, or else you can't walk through your kitchen barefoot. What kind of freedom is that? You know what I'm saying? For fear of a shard to cut through your big toe. Anyway, I'm in a bugged out mood, man. What did I do this week? Had some good shows. Shout out to the stages at Eastville. I was back out in Governors this time. I was out there with V Lad. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to El Capitan. I was rocking out with him. Comedy in Harlem. I had a good time in Comedy in Harlem. That was a vibe. Shout out to Jamie Roberts It was cool. It was a vibe. It was a Saturday night in Harlem. Monifa in the building. Miss Jones in the building. It was cool, you know. Drew Frazier in the building. Onika McLean. You know, it was a vibe. We had fun in there. So I did a little bit of that. I also went to the Whitney Fridays. So I wound up going to the Whitney for the Free Friday. And it was cool. And it's Free Fridays throughout. Because I asked the person, because I didn't know if it was just like for a limited time. They Free Fridays for indefinitely. So if it's a Friday and you want to go to the Whitney, go ahead. And I think they say the second Sunday of every month is also free. So if you don't want spring for a membership or a $30 ticket, just know. But you know, it's in the middle, they doing the biennial right now, so I was like, let me go ahead and do this. But I had a show that night and I hadn't eaten too, so I kind of spun through there. Like, I really just, it was a speed walk through there, really disrespecting the artwork. You know, this is the biennial, and I like the biennial typically, you know what I mean, but I ain't even, you know what I'm saying, massage my chin. You know you got to give your chin a good massage. Men and women, you gotta rub your chin just a couple times when you're dealing with art. Just to give the impression that you get where they coming from, you know. I ain't even had no time to do that. I was just speeding through. I just was trying to see as much as I could see before, because it wasn't even like I had to get to the show, because the timing was good. My timing was on point, but I hadn't eaten. I was starving, and when I'm not even one of these people that prescribe to the hangry thing, but I do get distracted when I gotta get something to eat. I gotta get something to eat, so then I had to pull up out of there, go grab me some shit. You know, went to the roadie spot. You know, I wanted to get some doubles, but they were done as soon as I got in there. They was like, well, no more China. So then I got a good-ass roadie. And, of course, this spot, these motherfuckers never give you any, like, utensils. I think that's a New York thing, too. But it's a this spot thing in particular, but it is also a New York thing now. I think per Eric Adams, since Eric Adams, you got to ask for utensils when you get a to-go order. You got to say, hey, you got to request it. Even if you do like a Uber Eats, there's like a whole little box that you got to check to say, I would like utensils. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah, I would like utensils. So I don't got this crazy roadie and I'm starving. So then I got to run up into another restaurant, act like I ordered from them and say, yo, you forgot to give me utensils. They looking at me like, you ain't order nothing from there. Little Mexican restaurant. They gave me that and I got into it a little bit. It was good. It's interesting eating in your car. Eating in your car is, I don't really, especially certain things, but I just don't, I'm guilty of it. But I'm not at the point to where I'm going to buy one of those little trays that snap onto your steering wheel. I think that's when you turn a corner. And your lifestyle might devolve a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Shout out to anybody that got a serving tray attached to their steering wheel currently. You know, hey, no judgment. That's just a strong choice. That's what you chose to do. I'm not going to do that just yet. I do see the convenience in it for sure, but I just feel like I got to wait it out. I ain't gonna lie though. I do have a dedicated towel that I take out the trunk and I lay it across my lap when I eat. So I don't, if I spill some shit, it just spills onto the towel. And, you know, it is what it is. Which is just, I mean, it might be just as bad. But anyway, I'm rambling, which I will do. So anyway, yeah, I went to the biennial. I wanna go back. I want to go back because I'm sure I definitely missed a lot. You know, it's the biennial, so I know there's some joints in there. And, so I'll do that. But that's really it for the most part. I got my tire. I got new tires. I mean, we talked about that. I talked about that last week because I didn't get the 95, so I wound up getting me some new tires. And I still feel good about my decision. Driving with confidence. Soon as I got new tires, though, I noticed that maybe it's just the turn of the seasons. Now that the winter is quote unquote over, I noticed a whole lot of potholes have been sealed. There's this one bridge by me that is like, I mean, it's like IEDs out there. It's so many potholes it used to be. It was ridiculous. It's like, yo, come on. What's going on here? It make you want to draft a letter. Mom Donnie, what's going on? But, yeah, they done sealed all of that. I said, man, look at this. As soon as I spend a couple dollars, you know what I mean? Y'all done neutralized the threat. But it's better than driving on a blowout. You know what I mean? I think so. I think it's worth it. What's going on? A bunch of little things happening. I'm gonna talk about a bunch of little things. We're gonna talk about this Jay-Z situation. We might as well just talk about it right now. I definitely stood in virtual line 2 days in a row trying to get some Jay-Z tickets to either show, honestly. Honestly, probably the second night. I don't even know. You know, because I've heard the debate going on, a lot of people saying which show is probably going to be the better show. I do think, just song-wise, I agree with those that say that the Blueprint will probably be the more fun show, you know. I'm going to be honest with you. When Reasonable Doubt dropped, I'm not going to lie to you. I was in college, and I wasn't all the way on it like that. To be totally honest with you, I can remember about 3 people that was really on Jay-Z. Shout out to my homegirl, Felicia. We was in computer class together. She was probably one of the first people to really be on it that I could actually point to and say, yo, nah, they were listening to it. Me, 96, I feel like that for me, and I want to say I was heavy on Muddy Waters. I was heavy on, what was the, Illadelph Half-Life, Stakes is High, De La. Illadelph Half-Life, The Roots, Muddy Waters, that's Redman. Was Nas, it was written around that time, or was it a little later? I remember being a little disappointed by that. I think it was around that time, but I remember being a little disappointed it was written initially. But I say all that to say, I was late to, AT Aliens. But I'll say I was late to Reasonable Doubt. I got to it later on. Like, I think I started street teaming for Rockefeller probably right around the volume one, right before volume one. And what was the name of the movie that he put out? That's when I first started rocking, right around that time. Right around the time of, I can't even think about it. It was the, shit, let me look this up. What was the name of the movie that they put out? Streets is Watching. Nah, I was before that. I guess, yeah, I got, you know what? I was obviously Ain't No Nigga was a thing and all of that. But as far as listening to Reasonable Doubt front to back, like really locked in like that, I'm not going front. But I do remember when the motherfucking Blueprint dropped. I remember that shit because that was 9/11. As 9/11, I was at the Vibraheems. And I just remember how sonically that shit just sounded so much different than everything else. You know, that was Ye and Just Blaze going crazy with the soul sample. Shout out to Bink. You know what I mean? Pharrell and all of that, you know. Actually, did the Blueprint have Give It To Me, or was that the Dynasty? Let me see. What album was that? Nah, it was the Dynasty album. Oh, shit, it was the Dynasty album. Anyway. Yo, it's kind of crazy. Yeah, the Dynasty came out before Blueprint. It doesn't feel that way. But, yeah, it came out before the Blueprint. Yeah, Blueprint 01, man. That joint hit, it was crazy. That shit hit, it was a moment. It was a moment. And I think it still holds up. I still think my favorite 3J albums are, and not in any real order, but Blueprint, Black Album, and Reasonable Doubt. But maybe in that order. Or maybe Vice, maybe Black Album, Blueprint, then Reasonable Doubt. But anyway, long story short, I wasn't the biggest, like, as an album, Reasonable Doubt had. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was there once it dropped. Like, when it came out, I was the person that, like, was playing that. I'm not even going to lie to you. It wasn't me. So, although I know that it's a moment and it's 30 years and all of that, yeah, I guess I'd rather see the Blueprint live. All of that said, I was in two virtual long-ass lines. Yeah, two virtual long-ass lines. And I came up with nothing. Asked out. I got on the first day. I don't even know if it was a pre-sale. And if it was a pre-sale, it said it was like a city pre-sale. I ain't got nothing going on with Citibank. So I don't even know if I was even going to be allowed to do it. But they let me get on the line. So I'm going to blame it on the line. I got it. They had a few tickets. A lot of them were stupid expensive. But they had some that were just kind of a little ridiculous price-wise. And I was like, all right, bet. Let me try to throw these in the cart. They were saying they were there, but they wouldn't let me put in the cart. So that was frustrating. And then today, again, got online. Line was a lot shorter. When I got online the first time, what was that, Monday? I got online. When they opened up, I was like 800,000th in line. It was like 800,463. And it was taking a minute. Like, I went downtown. I did a whole thing. Came back. It still was in line. I opened it up today. It was just 100,000. I was like, wow, okay. It's only 100,000. Meanwhile, Yankee Stadium, I don't even know how many people. It don't hold all them people. But anyway, I find myself saying, no, it's only 100,000. I go. I'm online. I think it says it's going to last at least an hour. There's more people in line and more tickets, this, that, and the other thing. I said, all right, bet. I go make some breakfast. I come back. I miss my spot. They went through 100,000 people while I was making fucking turkey bacon and eggs. I came back. I was sick. I come back. They was already sold out. But this looked like they sold out maybe a couple minutes before I even was going to be up to buy anyway. And quiet as kept. When I was looking at the prices of the tickets, I was kind of like, man, listen, I might have been on that line just browsing. If I'm going to be honest with you, because, you know, who knows if I would have pulled the trigger. Because some of these figures I seen, and this is not even the secondary market, I was like, man, I'm cool. Maybe I'll call or connect. I don't really like doing that type of thing. And it's going to be the whole world doing it. And I ain't been on the phone with some of these people in a long time. So I doubt that I'm even going to try that route. But if you got them tickets, salute to y'all. Congratulations. Let me know in the comments if you did get tickets, if you're going. Which show do you prefer to go to? The Blueprint show or the Reasonable Doubt show? Now, this is the funny part. So then, both shows, you know, they sold out. I missed out. Then they do extra innings. They do the extra innings. They do a Sunday show. Now you're messing with the pastor's money. And we don't even know what show that is. Is that Reasonable Doubt? Is that the Blueprint? Is that a mix of the two? Or is that a B-side show? What is the extra innings joint? By the time I thought it was going to start, you know, that was going to go on sale the next day. Nah, that was going on sale at 1 o'clock. By the time I realized that, I went over there. They were sold out. So, it is what it is. I'm not tripping. I'm really not tripping. It's fine. I'm sure it's going to be amazing. Maybe I might wind up there, but maybe I won't. I'm honestly, as of March 24th, I'm not pressed. As we get closer to the date, I might be a little sick, but in this moment, I'm chilling. It ain't even nothing too crazy. But what I will say, because this was the thing. So then I woke up today, right? And I see that that there's a good GQ interview on the YouTube. On the YouTube, there's a GQ interview. Jay-Z breaks his silence. That's some old YouTube title shit. Jay-Z breaks his silence. You know, Jay-Z sat down with young Frazier Tharpe of GQ and former Complex fame, you know, and they sat down for about a good 35-minute, or at least cut up into a 35-minute interview. There's also the text that's going to be in GQ, and it's on GQ.com. I haven't read it because I'm not sure if there's stuff that's in the written word that isn't on the interview, but I'll see. Anyway, so they sat down, and, you know, Jay-Z, you know, he talks about the sexual assault case he had. He talks about Kendrick versus Drake, talks about programming the Super Bowl, you know, a couple other things. He, you know, he talks about making music, talks about Blue Ivy being like a piano prodigy and how hard she worked to get on stage, you know what I mean, with her moms during the tours and all of that. Like, it was a good interview. It was a good interview. You know, Hov don't speak a lot, so it's always interesting to hear his take on certain things. It was interesting because I appreciate Hov being in his 50s and sounding like it. You know what I'm saying? And being in his 50s and sounding like it and having I don't want to say hot, but unpopular takes. You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, when they asked him about the whole Drake and Kendrick thing, you know, his thing was, first of all, there was a couple things that I think that might get some pushback, and I'm curious to see how they land in the world. Because now this is such a symbiotic relationship. It's like what comes out, and then how do people respond? Whether it's the comment section, whether it's people going to be making their own little separate YouTube things or the podcast like this and all of that, right? So one of the things they asked him about the battle between Kendrick and Drake, and he said, you know, first he was like, you probably ain't going to like my answer. But then he was like, you know what, let me not be presumptuous. Let me just give you my answer before I throw a disclaimer on it. He said, you know, there's four pillars of hip hop, right? Now we getting 50. You know what I'm saying? We get old school, we hitting with the four pillars. We're calling them pillars. You know what I'm saying? Four pillars. So there's breakdancing, there's graffiti, there's DJing, and then there's rapping or battling, as he said. So boom. So he said, you know, breakdancing is in the Olympics, that's dead, right? He said, graffiti. You know, this was very old man. He was like, graffiti look good in some places. That's hilarious. I get it, but that shit is hilarious. Shout out to Kyle Grooms. Kyle Grooms, very, 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 very funny comedian. He used to have a bit way back in the day where he was like, man, graffiti is all that till you start to your own property. But he starts about street artists. And, you know, if you know any real graffiti artists, you know, they don't really like to be grouped with the street artists. You know what I'm saying? Like real deal graffiti writers, they kind of want to be looked at almost as vandals. Like, everything that they doing is outlaw, you know? So, like, the street artists in the context of, you know, it's curated and all of this other, you know? So, anyway, then he also said, you know, DJing. You know what I'm saying? We're basically kind of trying to say all these pillars are defunct. I know DJs is going to feel a certain type of way because they've been trying to fight against, rumored obsolete. Well, obsolete, why you say obsolete, but as a state? obsolescence, whatever, fuck, y'all know what I mean. When it's obsolete, well, you know, they've been trying to fight against extinction for a while. And shout out to the DJs, because DJs is out there, and DJs is getting to it. You know what I mean? They doing their thing, but I guess in relation to rappers, you know, he recalled the era of, you know, Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, and, you know, Eric B and Rakim and all of that. He was like, yo, who's Drake's DJ? Yeah, I know Drake DJ is sick. If he really got a DJ, that man is sick right now. Like, yo, I told you to just, you know, introduce me a couple times. Damn, Aubrey, shit. Anyway, then he gets over to the battle, and he basically said, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said it was disgusting. I think he said disgusting. He just said it just got too personal. It got too personal. It was like, it started to, what's the word? Basically slander and defame and accusing people of things that are outside of, you know, just rap. You know, talking about people's kids and, you know, this is the one cat who left condoms on your baby seat back in the days. So there's a little bit of hypocrisy, but that comes with growth, right? You know, there's always, as you grow, you definitely can contradict yourself. You can maybe forget what you said and did, or, you know, maybe that's just a different you. But it was just interesting. And he basically was like, I think we need to get rid of battles. Man, I know that URL, Smack DVD, all them, that battle community is probably going to feel some type of way, and I'm curious to see what the response is going to be. But what I appreciate is he understood that he was looking like an older man with a very unpopular take. You know what I'm saying? But he stood on it. And I appreciate that. To that point, he also said, because when I first saw this, I jumped on the ITC IG stories and provided the link. But I was like, nah. A fucking album is coming. It's gotta be coming. This man is doing press, 35-minute interviews. Come on now. An album is on the way. Has to be. Selling out Yankee Stadium. Take a sip. Now, this is just off the hype. This was just off the hype of, like, seeing that he had a 35-minute interview with GQ specifically, right? So I'm like, uh-oh, this seems like we about to start the rollout. Feels like the rollout is coming, you know what I mean? There's got to be some new work. He ain't just talking to be talking. You know, I know it's more offense than defense and all of that, but I'm like, man, hell nah. So I jumped the gun. I was like, fuck that. An album is coming, right? And prior to even all of this, I had this whole thing that I was about to present on the pod called the Umlaut Theory, right? The Umlaut Theory to me is, you know, obviously this is 30 years since, you know, Jay-Z put out Reasonable Doubt. Now, back then, Jay-Z used to have a little umlaut, you know what I'm saying, over the A, I think, or some shit. Yeah, the umlaut, right? Then, so I'm like, okay, cool, that's what's up. He trying to restore the feeling, you know what I mean? He got the umlaut over all of the shit if you go to a streaming or whatever. I'm like, ah, interesting. Then when the news of the Yankee Stadium show came out, which was split down the middle of the Reasonable Doubt and in the blueprint, but the umlaut was there. So I said, wait a minute, he ain't used the umlaut. I just like saying umlaut. He ain't used the umlaut when it was blueprint time, but he got the umlaut here. Is he about to umlaut us? Is the umlaut coming back with this new album? Is he trying to restore the feeling? Is he tapping back into that 96 era? You know, and then somehow I wound up going to a bunch of, I found this one, like, YouTube page. You know how you still could kind of find these, like, in-the-cut YouTube pages that got a whole lot of treats on them, like bootlegs and, you know, obscure shit that you just follow or you favorite and you just hope they don't get shut down. You know what I'm saying? You hope that they stay under the radar because they got heat on there. So I went and found one of these little YouTube pages, And I'm going back. They got a bunch of his old interviews. And there's one interview. I was like, yo, if he do some new music, he got to sample this. Because if you remember, when Reasonable Doubt was coming out, that was going to be his first and final album. As he was tired of the game, whatever, whatever. He was the ripe old age of 26. And in the interview, he's like, you know, I got to let the young cats do it. You know what I mean? I'm 26, that, whatever, whatever. This man is 50, I want to say 56 now. I don't know, 50-something. And he's rhyming. And people still want him to rhyme. So it's like, yo, if you put that out, throw that at the beginning of the shit just to set the tone. But anyway, I felt like, yo, he must be in this bag, blah, blah, blah. But then when I watched the interview, and if I'm taking him at his word, you know, and he not on some old poker player shit or, you know, talking out his ass or, like, trying to be coy, he said, yo, working with Beyonce, like, you know, the collab album they did, and anytime that, you know, they might get in the studio and he might help out a little bit with an idea, whatever. He said it was fulfilling. It didn't like activate an itch for him to go and do his own thing. He said actually it was enough for him just to do that. He got it out of system. He also said with everything that was swirling around with the allegations and whatever else was going on, he was in a very angry, negative mindset, you know. And he said he always used to like parse those type of feelings through music, right? And then he said he did a couple scratch tracks and he said they just didn't sound good and whatever, whatever. And he's looking to do something, I don't know if he said lighter, because that, you know, I don't really look to, I mean, Jay-Z could make a jam. He make records for you that, you know what I mean? A summer banger. He's good for that, but I don't know if I would always consider them light records. Fun records, yeah. Light is a weird adjective to apply to rap. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to think of who makes light rap. I want to say early, maybe Will Smith back in the days, but not maybe, I don't know, who else got light? Some light rap, like, but and because it's almost like a pejorative, and I don't want it to be that, but there's some people that just, their shit just, it just be, I don't know. I can't think off the top of their head. Y'all let me know in the comments who's a light rapper. Anyway, so when he said, look, I don't really got nothing. Then he said, you know, Frazier. And real quick, sidebar. I had a friend of mine, and I kind of had this feeling when I saw just the optics of it all. You know, Frazier thought, he's been in the game for about at least going on like 10 years. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate his writing. I like his interviews. You know what I mean? I follow the cat for a while. I think I even got a Substack. You know what I'm saying? I fuck with it. I like the energy. But, you know, he do look like he about 13 years old in the face when you see him, right? So I knew there was going to be at least somebody to be like, yo, who is Lou, man? Who is this interviewing Hov? And one of my homies hit me like, yo, come on now. Who is this young cat? Why they got this young cat interviewing Hov? They should have somebody that was there when Reasonable Doubt came out and da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, yeah, I mean, fair, that may be. But I said, I'm not mad. I'm not mad at a younger interviewer because I think that you're going to get different questions. You're going to get a different audience. You know what I'm saying? It makes it a little bit more broad. It opens it up to a new generation because in reality, Hov is somewhat of a legacy act, right? And there's a lot of younger rappers that don't know why he's so heralded. You know what I'm saying? They don't know. They don't, you know what I mean? It's not. It may not be presented in the proper context. And I think that if you went with like a OG, an older reporter, and I think he will do this later on, but I think if you go with an older reporter, then you could run the risk of like some shorthand to where like the OG will probably assume that whoever's watching them is a peer and they kind of know the context. So anybody new might be left in the dark. You know what I'm saying? And again, back to the fact that Frazier's been in the game for a while. This ain't the first time he's interviewed Hov. You know what I mean? He probably was even requested. So anyway, so he's asking him these questions. He's asking him, a lot of people was looking for you on that Clips album. You know, there was a rumor out there. The people were saying, I heard he put a verse together. It was crazy, this, that, and the other thing. And then Hov was like, well, listen, I wanted to do it, he said, but I felt like the first thing that y'all going to hear from me, I wanted it to just be from me. Then he was like, maybe I'm overthinking it, which is interesting to hear, you know what I mean? Like, this guy out here overthinking too. But long story short, it sounds like he don't have anything. But the other thing is they did this back in January. You know, Jay, that man to put the album together very fast. So it could be something, at least maybe, I've heard people say, maybe it's just a verse. I would be sick if it's just a verse. It's time. Put some shit together. And I'm curious to see where he would go, because even he admittedly said, 444 was the most vulnerable project he ever did. He don't even like to listen to it. It's so vulnerable. You know what I'm saying? And then he also said that, he don't want to, he kind of sound like Andre 3000 in the way that said, listen, I don't want to sound like, I'm not doing what I was doing in 96. So I don't even want to act as if, you know what I mean? I don't want to start using slang that I'm not, that's not native to me. You know, I don't want to be cringe. You know, it's like, are you going to be quiet? Are you going to be cringe? Or are you going to be you? Because I think you could get away with being you. I think this last couple years has shown that there is an absolute arena for mature rap artists. You know, and I mean, based on the fact that it was 800,000 people in line to buy tickets to hear you do your old joints, I know there's a market to they cats is fiending to see what you're talking about, you know. So we'll see. But it seems as though maybe nothing's coming at this moment. You know, what do y'all think? Do you think an album's coming? Let me know in the comments. Let me know. You think an album's coming, or you think it's just wishful thinking? What else was funny? There was a moment in the interview where Frazier says something about, will these people allow you to? And he was like, hold on, I just want you to stop using that word. I want us to think differently. So what word? He said, allow. You know, I don't want you to look at it like allow. Nobody's allowing you to do anything. You do what you want to do. You could tell Frazier was a little taken aback. And as certain people on Twitter, I seen somebody saying, basically like, based on Hov's position in the game and the money he's made, he can actually be in the place in his life to where he could take allow out of his vocabulary. And, a part of me feels like I think anybody could do that. It's a mindset shift. It's not going to be easy. But it's a mindset shift. It's almost just like taking try and all this other stuff out. And I think that he probably got there based on that. But again, this is just speculation. You know what I'm saying? But it's an interesting conversation to have. You know, I like that, though. I do like that because I do agree with that. I do think sometimes a lot of people are like, they asking for permission. You know what I'm saying? Like, more often than not, they ask you for permission. And when if you're an adult, you don't have to ask permission. You know what I'm saying? You ask for consent now. That's a whole different conversation. But, in general, if you're trying to do something with your life, you don't need to clear it with a board or anyone to get an okay. I think sometimes people just... it's just a way to kind of get somebody to validate their pursuit because they may not have all the confidence it takes to just say, fuck it. You know what I'm saying? Whether it goes well or I fail, and I feel like everybody's been there. So, but it was interesting. That was an interesting point that stood out to me. But overall, I enjoyed it. I don't know if I'll rewatch it. I'm definitely going to read the article and see if there's anything different in there. But I thought it was pretty good, man. I thought it was pretty good. I was telling a couple people, I was having conversations. I'm gonna tell you this. Another sidebar. Did we ever come back from the first sidebar? I don't even remember what the first sidebar. I just like saying sidebar. But and not to echo Tim Cook, who just said, "Yo, get off your phone," which is hilarious that Tim Cook is saying, "Get off the phone, man." I'm not even mad, but you know how I feel about Tim Cook. I feel like, you know, he ain't the best coach. I'm still a Steve Jobs guy. And then speaking to kind of bolster the Steve Jobs lore. Steve Jobs, it was like some type of email that got leaked. I guess Adobe, you know, was poaching people from Apple. So Steve Jobs, I think he hit the CEO of Adobe up on the email like, "Listen, over here at Apple, you know, we have a rule that we don't poach from Adobe." You know, he said, "But I see that you've hired two of my people. Now, do you want me to, and I'm paraphrasing, but do you want me to go against my rule?" Basically, like, big bank take little bank, fam. I see you over here trying to, you know, sniff around and try to pull a couple pieces from the kingdom. But let me be clear. We run shit out here. So, look, I got you on a list, on a safe zone, you know. But if you want war, you want corporate terrorism, corporate whatever, a corporate takeover, you want this? You want this? Want me to, you know what I mean? You want me to put on my war turtleneck? Because I could do that. I'm just going to give you a little, you know? It wasn't even best. It wasn't sincerely. It wasn't respectfully. I think it was just like, Steve. that's how he signed. Signed off. Steve. You know what I mean? Listen, this don't need to go no further. I wish I had it because I would love to read it because it was like, I love when, let me try to find it. I love when the corporate people get on their thuggery, but they keep it corporate. You know, like it's you kind of got to read between the lines, but the lines don't always be that. They don't always be that narrow. These lines are, you know, you can see it. Steve said, "Bruce," Bruce, not even hello, Bruce, "Adobe is recruiting from Apple. They have hired one person already and are calling lots more. I have a standing policy with our recruiters that we don't recruit from Adobe. It seems you have a different policy. One of us must change our policy. Please let me know who." Steve. What? That shit is hard. I'm sorry. That shit is gangster. Tim Cook ain't doing no shit like that. Tim Cook, talk about, "Yo, get up your phone. I ain't mad at you. Yeah, tell us something we don't know, Tim." Damn, man. Steve. Man. Steve was thugging. Steve was thugging. Corporate thugging. CTE. Shout out to. Man, I guess I was going to say Jody Breeze. I didn't want to just say Jeezy, but somebody on the label. Was it Jody Breeze? Was Jody Breeze on CTE or he was just part of Boys in the Hood? Anyway, yeah, shout out to CTE, Corporate Thuggin'. Ooh-wee. That was gangster. One of us, hold on. Nah, I got to read that again. That was the funniest. That line was, "One of us must change our policy. Please let me know who." Laugh with me. I'm bugging. Anyway, I'm in a silly mood, man. I gotta be. You know what I mean? It's just me in the room talking to y'all. Hopefully y'all still listening. Now, what I was saying in my little sidebar, I was talking about, since Tim Cook's talking about, "Yo, get off your phone. This ain't even a sidebar. This is setting up the sidebar. We ain't even calling it the sidebar no more. But Tim Cook was like, "Yo, get off your phone." And what I was saying, because I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine. That was the thing. I've been meeting up I like meeting up with the people in real life. Like, go get a, you know, go get a cup of coffee or something. Go get something to eat, you know, and just have real life conversation, man. And the screens and all of that, it's fine. But, like, yeah, seeing people in person and chopping it up and, like, really having real laughs, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's nothing better. It's nothing better, especially in this new AI existence. It's nothing better than being live and in person and talking to people, you know, and having a real human moment. So, anyway, I was telling a friend of mine that, on all of the streaming platforms right now, I'm probably messing with YouTube the most. And the reason is, I guess my attention span has been affected, if I'm being honest with you. The beauty, I got a bunch of movies on deck that I've been saying I'm going to watch, and I'm finally getting to some of them. But I got a long list of movies, and it's starting to feel like homework now, you know? And there's some that are very long, but, you know, like I got Once Upon a Time in America I want to watch. I think that joint's about 4 hours or something like that, but I heard it's classic. And it's funny because I'd heard about Once Upon a Time in America for, like, at least, I've known about it for at least 20 years, and I've never watched it. Shout out to my man Tone, Skeeter D. His birthday just passed. He was one of them cats that was heavy on that movie. Yeah, shout out to Tone, man. Shout out to my brother Kev. His birthday just passed. Both of them, you know, they passed. So it's kind of wild, back to back. 321, 322. Two very close people in my life that are no longer, and it's wild. But anyway, I was saying all that to say that I like watching YouTube more, just because I could look at this. I say, oh, this video is only 7 minutes long. This video is 12 minutes long. This video is an hour and 15 minutes. But I know it's shorter than whatever this little 2 hour, 90 minute, whatever thing is. I'll probably fuck around and watch 2 hours full of 7 and 8 and 12 minute YouTube videos and feel like, you know, it was what it was. It's almost like the median. It's like the middle ground of, like, reading a book, watching a movie, or doom scrolling. It's kind of like ranked in the middle. Anyway, to that point, you know, the GQ interview was really good. But I've been, as of late, and I don't know if I've been saying this, but, you know, it's Women's History Month. I got to tell you, that Angie Martinez In Real Life podcast is really fucking good. She got some good interviews. Like, it's back to back to back to back to back. Like, it's a lot of bangers. It's a lot of bangers. I've been watching a lot of that. I watch a lot of YouTube when I wash dishes. I put my iPad in the cabinet right above the dishes, and I connect it to the Bluetooth, and I wash dishes. That's one of the ways that I will really knock some dishes out. And I just watch, like, a podcast. I've been watching that. I was watching the R&B Money podcast, too. It's really good. I don't really watch many podcasts. There ain't too many podcasts. I'm still, like, an audio kind of cat. But those I'll watch, and I've been heavy on the Angie Martinez joints, but then the R&B Money has been really good too. The Mary one was good. The it was something that just recently, I forget who was on there. I haven't watched the joint with my man named Elmany or whatever the hell his name is. I can't remember his name, but I've been meaning to, like, get hip to him for a while. I've been hearing about him and seeing him for a while, and the clip show him singing and shit. And I've heard nothing but great things, but I'm not tapped in. But the Dion Cole episode was really funny when he was telling that story about how Phyllis Hyman was, like, damn near, like, just following him around show to show, heckling him. That shit's crazy. And Dion Cole's podcast is funny too, especially that Mike Epps episode was mad funny. Anyway, enough. In the conversation though. Come on now. You know what I mean? In the conversation, we here. Last couple things before I get up out of here. These are just things, observations, some musings, whatever. Speaking of content, I haven't watched it yet. It comes out tonight, so y'all probably may have seen, if you the type of people to jump on shit as soon as it drops. They've been leaking little clips, but I don't really play the clip thing. But Cameron and J. Cole are finally going to sit down. And I like the little clip that they put out where Cam is doing his show and then J. Cole pops up. You know what I'm saying? And it was a good moment. It was good content. You know, sometimes all content ain't good content, you know? And sometimes when you see some good content, you're like, oh, nah, that was dope. That I'm excited about that. That should be interesting. So I'm going to check that out. Euphoria comes back April 12th. There's a part of me that's saying, has it been too long? But once it come back, I'm going to watch it for sure. And I hope it's good. I'm happy. You know what I mean? I'm curious to see where they're going to go. It's been a long time. I don't know what they're going to be getting regular jobs now. Are they still in some type of school system? Who knows? But April 12th, Euphoria comes back. I don't think I ever talked about it here, but for a long time, I'd been under the impression that Jiffy no longer made blueberry muffin mix. I love a good Jiffy cornbread muffin. You know what I mean? I love the good Jiffy cornbread. But I also love Jiffy blueberry muffin mix. That was one of my favorites, and I couldn't, obviously it's fake blueberries, but it's just, it's done well, right? But I couldn't find it nowhere for like, I feel like at least a year. Every time I would go anywhere that they had Jiffy, I would see the honey, I'd see the regular, I might have seen like the whatever, the sugar free or whatever. But I never see, or maybe the apple cinnamon, which I don't think I ever got into the apple cinnamon, but I never seen the blueberry. And I'm like, yo, what happened to the blueberry? Blueberry was used to be like right there. That was the go-to. That was, for me, that was always a staple. Man, I started to tell people. I'm like, yo, I don't know if y'all notice, and I don't even know if y'all would notice, because y'all might not be as alarmed as I am. But they don't got no blueberry Jiffy mix in the world. What's going on? And sure enough, I was in a good stopping shop up in Westchester County. And came across a damn shelf with some blueberry muffin mix. And I only grabbed just one. I only grabbed one box. I was like, let me just get one box. It's obviously still in the world. Let me not hoard a bunch of blueberry muffin mix. Let me see if, you know, because I ain't seen it in a while. Did they fuck with the formula? Because if they mess with the formula, I'm not buying a bunch of boxes. I need to, let me get a tester. I mean, see if it still hit like it used to. I will keep you posted. Shout out to all my ADHD listeners. I don't know. I'm curious. I don't know if I want to. There's a part of me that's thinking, do I have ADHD? You know what I mean? I was talking about all them tabs open. You know, I'm always trying to declutter. I was looking it up because I forgot somebody was saying something. And then moving boxes. Then I heard about this thing called Doom boxes. I'm not sure if you ever heard of it, but it's Doom stands for don't organize, only move. And, man, that's the kid. That's the kid. I'm definitely out here not always organizing, but moving, but displacing clutter from one spot to the next. Uh-oh. I feel like a lot of the ADHD people, and again, if you got it, you know what I mean? Especially if you got it honest, like if you really got diagnosed by somebody that, like, has some type of degree or certificate in it, because I think a lot of the ADHD people, you know, or there's a subset of ADHD baddies that I think a lot of them are like self-diagnosed or whatever. But anyway, if those, some of the people that really got it, man, you know, respect. I don't want to, you know, make light of your plight. But there's a part of me that's kind of like, I don't know if I want to get diagnosed. I might keep it old school and just run around with an undiagnosed mental illness. On some real 90s shit. You know what I mean? Restore the feeling at the umlaut. You know what I'm saying? ADHD with the umlaut. Woo! Anyway, did you hear about the cornhole killer? The cornhole killer. So this is a quadruple amputee. Cut no arms, no legs. You know, shout out to all my amputees listening. You know, I don't want to disrespect. We just talked about this guy. He's a cornhole champion. No arms, no legs, still nice at cornhole. Shot one of his homeboys. They in the car. They got to arguing. This motherfucker pulled the gun and shot this man. Killed him. Now, again, I do not want to be insensitive. You know what I'm saying? Anybody that's any amputees listening, please do not reach for the volume or the, you know, stop it, whatever. But, yo, if you see my man reaching for the pistol, the amputee reaching for the pistol, I would imagine you got enough time to, I don't want to say disarm, because I think that could be taken the wrong way. That, yes. But also, or maybe he's driving fast or whatever. But this man is driving and about to kill. He's doing a whole lot. He's doing a whole lot for somebody that's a quadruple amputee. And again, I don't want victim blame. Rest in peace to the person that died. But that's crazy to see, like, to not see that coming. Anyway, women rapping lyrics. That's something I've been wanting to talk. I'm just going to, these are just notes. These are things I noticed. I like it. It's one of my little favorite things on the algorithm. Real cute girls just in their car rapping some of the most gangster lyrics, just like down to the breath control. Like they got it. No, they know every word, you know. And it reminds me, like, you know, I was talking to my niece or somebody. I was talking about karaoke. I've gone to karaoke or whatever, but like anytime I go to karaoke, it definitely makes me realize how much of the words of my favorite songs that I do not know, you know. And as I get older, my memory is kind of, I don't say fading, but it just don't retain like it used to. When I see some of these people, particularly the pretty ladies, but anybody, when they reciting these lyrics and shit, it is to the T. It's something fly about that. I appreciate it. Salute to y'all. This is a question for the community. You let me know. Maybe this could be a bigger conversation. I'm not sure. Is Chinese food falling off? Takeout spots. Takeout Chinese food spots. I feel like they're so hit or miss now. I've been to a couple just recently, just trying to like do some research, some places that have been like revered and well reviewed. I'm like, let me see. Some are cool, some ain't all of that. But it used to be just like pizza shops, even though I think pizza shops are coming back, like regular ass pizza shops, not these like artisanal highfalutin pizza shops, but like regular good slice shops. There's still a good amount that you could get a good slice of pizza. It used to be a time. Old head talk. But it used to be a time where there's a Chinese food restaurant everywhere and your neighborhood Chinese food restaurant would get the staples right. You know what I'm saying? Whether it was some wings, whether it was, you know what I'm saying, fried rice, whether you like it with the pork or the beef or the chicken or the veggie or the, if you, seafood is starting to get into the other thing. That's what it started to deviate. But, you know, whatever, sesame chicken, General Tso's chicken, beef and broccoli, chicken and broccoli, all of that, like the staples used to be something that you could rely on. You could rely on it, especially now that Chinese food is mad expensive. You're like, yo, it should still taste how it used to taste. And a lot of these spots, they losing the recipes. As they stay, y'all, they losing the recipes. I saw there was a whole story on it, too, because, like, the youth, they're not really trying to be standing around a wok all day, inhaling all that smoke, and you know what I mean? And, you know, like, the family, they made enough money to put these kids through school, and these kids, just like any other kids, they starting to see other things. You know what I'm saying? They ain't in for the Chinese takeout nepotism. You know what I'm saying? So with that said, it's kind of dying. It's very rare. And I don't know if y'all seen it, but it's very rare. But here's another take on top of that take. And I don't know if I'm all the way on this take, but I just, it's something that had me thinking. Because I got some General Tso's from this spot. It was pretty decent. Right, and I'm eating it. It was good, but it was hot. It was fresh. It was hot. It was crispy. You know what I mean? And then So I had some of it, and then later on, I had it later on after the fact, like I microwaved it a little bit, you know what I'm saying? And I took it out the plastic. I ain't with the plastic leaching. So I put it on the plate, and I microwaved it or whatever, and I ate it. There's a part of me that feels as though microwave General Tso's leftovers is better than fresh General Tso's. You could put orange, you could put sesame chicken in that same bracket. This is the reason why. This is how I feel. I think that the sauce doesn't really permeate the chicken initially when it's fresh, when it's still crispy and all of that. It's just kind of laying on top of it. But when it like has some chance to sit, it soaks it up in the little three pieces of broccoli that they put in there to make it look like it's somewhat healthy, you know, whatever, or just for garnish. Even that soaks up, even the rice soaks up the sauce, and it's a different experience. It tastes great. And I don't even think it's mushy. It has some texture. You got to microwave it in a way to where it don't get too mushy. You got to be artful about that. But I think that's a take to be considered. Y'all let me know how you feel. Lil Baby got a fan passing out. That was hilarious. That was hilarious, but the people were slandering. Oh, also the people in them comments about the quadruple amputee killing his man. The comments, they were out of here. They were out of here. They was like, well, this got out of hand. They had that one. They got bananas. But anyway, Lil Baby fan passing out in front of him. That was wild. Lil Baby kind of laughed a little bit. You know, he might have been just as surprised as the people in the comments. A lot of people was like, damn, Lil Baby cold. How he got fans passing out? That's foul. But anyway. Related to the Jay-Z article or the Jay-Z interview. Frazier, you know, he asked about Cole and his relationship. And after Jay-Z kind of spoke on his relationship, he's like, yo, when the last time you spoke to Cole? Some shit like that. And that line, when was the last time you talked to such and such? It's such a loaded ass line, but I'm not going to have the full conversation right now. I just want to leave this on y'all. And y'all can talk about it in the comments. Please talk about it in the comments. Again, I'm trying to build a community. You know what I'm saying? So like, let's get in there and start talking about what you heard on the pod and giving a take, you know? Shout out to Nadine who hit me up and told me to check out that Jack Harlow instead of just slandering it blindly. And I did. It wasn't bad, but I don't think I'll ever listen to it again. But when was the last time you talked to such and such? How active does your friendship need to be to still consider it a friendship? You know what I mean? And if you still, can you wish somebody well, but y'all just don't rock with each other like that? It might not be no ill will. Just y'all, you know, like with the Jay-Z Cole thing, I feel as though, honestly, that was a business relationship. They are not peers. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you know what I mean? Like, they not kicking it. You know what I'm saying? They could admire each other, have respect for each other, but like, I think Cole and Drake and Cole and Kendrick, those are peers that when the last time y'all talked, that's a little bit more reflective of the relationship. But like, you know what I mean? Jay-Z was kind of his boss. You know what I'm saying? When the last time you talked to your boss or some casual shit? Hey, what up, boss? How you doing? I ain't even here to, you know, your former boss at that. Your former boss. Yo, I just want to know, you still out there bossing around? What you doing? What you doing? How you been? Are you on good terms with your boss? Even if you left, you didn't get laid off. Or maybe you got laid off. Whatever. Maybe you got laid off and the severance package was lovely. Are you on good terms? But when was the last time you talked to such and such? Is such a funny question. And my question is, how often do you need to talk to somebody to really claim them as a friend? Because I often hear, and I'm guilty of using this, yo, we don't talk for months, but as soon as we get back on the phone, it's like ain't no time passed. You know what I mean? And that while that can be true, you know, what's the activity like? Are y'all, I've had this conversation before, but I'm curious where y'all at with it. So let me know. And shit. I think that's it, man. New Haven, Read the Room this Saturday. It's on my Instagram stories. It's at this bookstore. I forget the name of it. But then also, I'm at the Milford Arts Council April 15th out in Milford, Connecticut. That's also on the Instagram stories and also on my Instagram page. The link is on DamianLemon.com as well. So if you in that area, come through, catch the show. I should be adding more dates soon. I'm in the city all the time, typically promoting it on the stories. But, yeah, that's it. You know, it's always a pleasure. Love it when we chop it up. I love it when y'all listen. You know what I'm saying? It's just me and this microphone right now. But I'm glad when y'all listening, y'all hit me back, say, yo, I feel you on that, or I disagree with that, or have you seen this? Whatever. It's a conversation. It's not a monologue. Please, we are in the conversation as always. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Begin the conversation. Oh, and an enemy too, maybe. You know what I'm saying? But tell a friend to tell a friend. Begin the conversation. I'm out.